Well, we're finishing up today in our series on battles in the Bible. And I think what a great place. We finished last week, and Moses got to see the promised land, but he didn't get to enter. By the way, if you would turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. It's the sixth book of the Bible, so it's right near the beginning in the Old Testament. But Moses, as we read last week, got to see the promised land, but he didn't get to enter. And we talked about that and said he didn't get to enter because God said, do this. And he kind of was mad and did it his way. And he taps the rock and God said, no, just command the rock to spew forth water this time. We've got to remember, we may do it the same way, but God says, today I want you to do it differently. I told you guys in 2019, right at the end of the year, he released me from a lot of stuff I didn't have to deal with, carry around, or worry about. Whew! Man, I am free. We sang that this morning. I am free. I don't have to worry about those things. But I could say, well, I've always done this. Well, God told you, don't worry about it anymore. Hallelujah. When he says, do it this way, that's the way he wants you to do it, even if he's done it this way a long time. So as we look today, we're going to talk about what does your battlefield look like? What does your battlefield look like? And we're just going to look around, and when I say what does your battlefield look like, it may be where you're having your battle, and it may be when you look around, wait a minute, they're on our team also? Them? So we've got to keep that in mind as we look around. I heard somebody the other day, and they said, well, I don't agree with so-and-so because I don't agree with their lifestyle. And I thought, oh, man. Christians, let's be very careful. Let's be very careful when we talk about lifestyles or things. And that could be that they're doing habits that they don't like. It could be that they're doing things that don't go along with God's word. But when you look at them, their values are great. And I think, oh my goodness, we could easily line up with somebody that says, I am a Christian. I'm standing behind that person. But their values are off and their values are poor. And so when we look around, the Bible is full of unlikely candidates that help further the kingdom. The Bible, when you look around at Jesus coming, I think Dr. Johnson said it several years ago when he was here, when he was preaching. Look at the lineage of Jesus. Murders, prostitutes, just all kinds of things that came in that history. So I want us to be very careful when we talk about that. And the battles sometimes come from within. Now, I'm not saying dismiss things that go against God's word. I'm not saying that. But it doesn't say dismiss the people. It doesn't say that. The woman at the well, he didn't dismiss her. Other than to say, go and sin no more. So in that sense, he dismissed her. But he didn't say, I can't have contact with you. So pay attention today and let's glean what we can out of this in Joshua. And the transformation of leadership has just happened. Moses spoke, God spoke to Moses and said, Joshua will be leading. Then they spoke to the people and said, Joshua will be leading. I'm going to get ahead of myself. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice. I'd be upset myself if I missed that. What I love about that is your response in reference to that. And it's a reminder. And again, I said it the other day. Some of you have sent that text back to me and reminded me of that. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Moses got to see the promised land. He did not get to enter it. But God said, I'll let you see what I promised you. Because I don't want you to know that you've spent all this time and never got there. He could have just been wandering around. Moses died. And go, I guess he never showed it to me. There it is right over there. Now we pick up today in Joshua chapter 1. And I love this when we read this. It says, after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide. And he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them. To the Israelites, that is. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will expand from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Church, remember that in our battles. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Now, I love that when we look at these things, God says, in my time I will do this. Remember, they wandered 40 years. We read last week, or we touched on it last week and read the week before. God said, I will not take them the most direct route. God acknowledged, I know there's a quicker way out of this. God knows that with the things that you and I are going through. I know there is a quick way out of here. But I'm not going to take you that way. I want to strengthen you. And remember, we talked last week, sometimes the battle isn't for all of us. It's for you to go through alone. Why, God, do you want me to go through this alone? Because I need to strengthen you. And by the way, I need you to grow in your reliance on me, says the Lord. With everybody else fighting your battle, you sit back and relax on it. You have no skin in the game, if you will. Everybody else is fighting your battle. He says, you don't need that. I need you to have skin in the game. And by the way, I need you to take a few licks and bruises. And I will allow that to happen to you. Job, man, he said, I will allow you to do that. To my child. But just don't take his life. You can take away the things that he has. And he took his livestock, and he took his land, and he took his homes, and he took his family and his loved ones. And Job said, I will continue to worship you. Our battlefield sometimes is unknown when we're going to do these things and when God says to move. Now, if we read in verse 3, let me go back there. He says, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Now, he didn't reveal that up to this time necessarily to Joshua, maybe to Moses, but he said, I promise this to Moses. Now I'm telling you, as a new leader, everywhere you set your foot, I will give you as I promised Moses. And he goes on throughout the text here to say, I will be with you. I will go with you. I will lead you there. I'll reveal this in my timing. He says in verse 6, be strong and courageous, for I will be with you. And then as we go down to verse 10, it says, so Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you for your own. Be ready. In the right timing, just as Gideon, he came in the middle of the night and said, hey, tonight, we're going down. I did find this interesting and thought about it as I was doing the study on Gideon. Remember, he said, but if you do not believe me, trust me, have faith in me, rely on me, go on down to the camp and listen to what they say. Oh my gosh, they said they had this dream. Yeah, I believe God now. Let's go back to the camp. And I thought of the New Testament where the guy says, Jesus said to him, do you believe? And he says, I believe. Help my unbelief. And I thought the same thing with Gideon. Gideon, it's time to go, but if you don't believe me, go down and listen to him. I believe. I'm going to go help my unbelief and go down and listen to them and see what they have to say. And we go through the same thing. Do you believe? Yes, I believe. But God, where I'm weak and failing in my faith and my reliance on you, would you please help my unbelief? So yes, it happens in the Old Testament. It happens in the New Testament. It's going on today. Yes, I believe, but Lord, please help my areas of unbelief. Because if he truly trusted him, he said, let's go. But no, he gave him an extra opportunity to really trust him and rely on him. So he tells the people in verse 11, go get your people and get them ready. In 3 days we will do this. In verse 14 he goes on to say, or verse 13 he says, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. And then verse 14 says, your wives and your children and your livestock, they may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But what comes after? He says, but all your fighting men, get them ready for battle, because they must cross over ahead of the other Israelites. It says, you are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that your Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. Now, I did find it interesting in verse 18. He says, whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, is to be put to death. We don't do that here, just so you know. Okay? But that was a direct thing God told them. He said, whoever does this, if they don't obey your word. Now, remember, God is moving a group. He's taking the Israelites and he's taking them out of bondage. They've been through 40 years of a whole bunch. But he says, whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them is to be put to death. But again, he reminds them right after that, only be strong and courageous. That's great. That's great. Now, chapter 2 and chapter 6 really are what we're going to focus on the rest of the day. Rest of the day. Don't think we're going to be here another 2 hours. I'm just saying the rest of our stuff will be in chapter 2 and 6. Rahab and the spies is my heading above chapter 2. And it says, so Joshua the son of Nun secretly sent 2 spies. And he said, go look over the land, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute. Did I get really loud? Go look over the land, he said. Then I'll stop yelling as much. How's that? Especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. Now, can you imagine if you sent them and said, go spy out the land? They came back. Yeah, we went to a prostitute's house. And really? And let me guess, the Lord directed you there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Guys, this is very specific. And this is what I'm talking about on our battlefield. It's a fascinating story, actually. And it says, the king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. I thought it was interesting. They already knew what the plan was. And it said, so the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the 2 men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. And at dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left, and I don't know which way they went. But she said, if you go after them quickly, you may catch up with them. But she had already taken them up on the roof, and she had hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. So now they're hiding up on her roof. She's lied to the king. The king wants to kill them because they're spies checking out the land. They knew that already. And it says, before the spies had laid down for the night, in verse 8, she went up on the roof and she said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. Let us be very careful, again, not to judge people that may be walking this path or that path or whatever, to say there's no way God could be talking to them. This is a prostitute. And she said, it had been revealed to her, and she said, I know that the Lord has given this land to you. Verse 10 says, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites, east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. And then verse 11 says, when we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's, can you imagine, everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. But then she asked a favor. And she says, now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family. Why? Because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and my mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Man, she knew what was coming wasn't going to be good. And she asked a favor, and she said, because I've shown you favor, will you please show me and my family favor because of this that I've done? In verse 14, it says, our lives for your lives. The men assured her. The men didn't judge her and say, you kidding me? I got to go back and tell Joshua I hung out with a prostitute, and then she asked a favor of us? No. They knew that she had saved their lives because they were being sought after. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us this land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. And she said to them, go to the hill so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. And they made this oath in verse 17. This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers and all your family into your house. In other words, we're not going throughout the town looking for these folks. What do they look like? Oh, about this tall, got a big old beard, and not much hair on top. No. You bring them into your house, we'll save your house. But we're not going seeking. If any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. And as for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on your head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made with us. Agreed, she said. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Now think again. As you go to your mother and father and brothers and sisters. And I'm sure that they knew who and what she was. And she's saying, hey, I went and saw these representatives of the Lord's army. And they're going to come take this town, but they're going to save us. I'm just curious how they're judging her as well. Coat of many colors. Do you think there was any family members judging some young man there? But I love how it just keeps reminding us. It says all the people are melting in fear because of this army. So our battlefield, where we go, we may have some unlikely allies on our battlefield and in our army. Can we try and be open to them? Can we try and receive every member of the army, regardless of what they look like, regardless of what they may act like? But can we also, while we're doing that, try and remind them that, guys, we have one goal and one purpose. Eric, many times, not many times, I don't mean that you keep using the same sermon, but Eric many times has used the reference, broken crayons still color. And I think, man, there are some of us that could have no opportunity to help a broken person because we haven't been broken in that way or there or done this or been through this or overcome this. Now, just so you know, we're all broken in some manner. We're all broken in some manner. But some of us who have overcome need the help of someone, and we may need the help of someone that's still struggling through those things. An unlikely ally in this prostitute. It's a powerful thing we'll see here in just a minute. Let's go ahead and skip over to chapter 6. Okay, chapter 5. I have one thing to read at the end of chapter 5. But chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. And it says, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or are you for our enemies?' 'Neither,' he replied, 'but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.'" Praise God. "Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does my Lord have for his servant?'" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. First point I brought out is your battlefield may have unlikely allies. You may think they're the enemy, but they may be your ally, and they may be there to help you, and they may be there to give you the victory. Number two, your battlefield is holy ground. Now, chapter 6. And it says, "Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in." This town is afraid. They are melting with fear. They are scared to death. And they've got it locked down. Nobody in, nobody out. "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men.'" Now remember when we talked a couple weeks ago about the battles, same thing. When Gideon earlier? Okay, good. I was thinking, did I say Simeon or something like that? No, Gideon. Okay, thank you. Gideon, it's the same thing when he said, "Your army's too big. If you're afraid, go away." Some went away. And then he said, "Okay, separate. Get rid of another 10,000. Great, these 300. He says, "I will deliver them into your little bitty group of 300. And it's the same thing here. He says, "I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up everyone straight in. So Joshua called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Have 7 priests carry the trumpets in front of it. And he told them what to do. And then he said, advance. It's time to move. March around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to his people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark. All this time, the trumpets were sounding. Can you imagine being inside of that city, and already you're afraid? And now they brought their horns. And now they're blowing their horns. And they've secured those walls. And they've secured that gate. Verse 10, but Joshua had commanded the army, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. This went on for several days. He said, don't do this. You just march around. You blow the trumpets. You don't talk. You don't make a sound for 7 days. Or for several days. Then the army returned to the camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. And they did the same thing. Verse 14, so on the second day they marched around the city once and returned to camp. They did this for 6 days. We've got to remember this. They've already been walking for 40 years, right? The Lord has said, okay, here's the promised land. And then the first thing they come up against is Jericho. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you that town. And they've got to do battle. I'm sure they were doing a daily battle for those 40 years on something. Lord, please, manna again. But they did this again. And then verse 15, on the seventh day, they got up at daybreak. They marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, shout! I'm sorry for anyone that may have been asleep. Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab, the prostitute, and all who are with her in her house shall be spared. Because she had the spies that we sent. But keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. Those of you thinking about doing your private side mission, don't do it, he said. When we go there, this is the mission. This is what we do. You don't get to do your side mission and make it about you. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into His treasury. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone went straight in and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it. Men, women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'm thankful that our battles this day and age are slightly different than him saying, hey, go take this entire city and destroy every living thing. Every living thing. And Joshua said to the 2 men who had spied out the land, go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath. So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother, her brothers and sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought out the entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Verse 24. And they burned the entire city and everything in it. But the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the Lord's house. Verse 25. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men of Joshua, because she hid the men that Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. And at that time, Joshua pronounced this solemn oath: cursed before the Lord is anyone who undertakes to rebuild this city, Jericho, at the cost of his firstborn son. He will lay its foundations. At the cost of his youngest, he will set up its gates. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. Your battlefield, what does that look like? It looks like it's too soon. Lord, I just finished a victory, and now you're presenting me with another battlefield. Just three things I want you to think about. The battlefield that you're in may have unlikely allies in it. That could be young or old, or a man or a woman, or different than you think they should be. Not traditional. Your battlefield is holy ground. And your battlefield may be right after a victory you've already had. And it could have been a long battle. They've been marching around 40 years. They get into the promised land and God says, okay, I need you to get ready for battle. Women and children, stay behind. Men that are able to battle, warriors, let's go. We have a mission. And so it may come one after another. As the band comes up, we're going to sing a song here in just a moment. And I want you to think about the words, but I don't want you to think too much about the words. It's a simple song, but it's a powerful song. And it's about holy ground. But before we sing, when we get to the end of Joshua and his battle, and I hope and I pray that as we've looked at different battles, you think, okay, let me look at battles in my life. Am I in battles I shouldn't be in? Am I sitting back in the bleachers when I should be in the battle? Am I casting out people that should be a part of that army? And I want you to think about this. At the end of Joshua chapter 24, and he says in verse 14, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." And then verse 15, he says, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Amen. Stand and worship with us this morning. Amen. Today we stand on holy ground in His place today. Heavenly Father, we just ask You to be with us today as we go out into the battlefield. Help us to look at others differently, Lord. Help us to receive others. Help us to accept others. Lord, help us to fight our battles for You, and help us know when to step out of battles that we don't belong to. Give us strength to be bold, brave, and courageous in battles. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed and amazing week.